אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל
הסולם. We're reading in the Kabbalah for the Student, page 253, the Arvut essay, letter 19. You can ask questions during the lesson at kab.tv, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
Well, so the Arvut article is a continuation to Matan Torah, and in the article of Matan Torah, Baal Salam explains to us about the will to receive and how it received the quality of bestowal from the light in the upper worlds, and how we too have to actualize our will to receive, and that's why we're in a system called the system of the worlds, and our entire work is to come to love of others, which is the actualization of the correct will to receive. By that we come to the purpose of our creation. On behalf of the Creator, it's to benefit the creatures. On behalf of the creatures, it's to adhere to the Creator. And that goal is our final correction. And that goal, with respect to the creatures, divides to steps. The first step is that a small portion of the entire will to receive that was created performs corrections. And that part is called Yashalkel Israel, straight to the Creator, or towards the Creator. Those who are aimed at making the corrections first, they're called chosen by the Creator. There are these types of desires in the collective desire to receive that receive an awakening. It's called a point in the heart, and then they begin to yearn for equivalence of form with the Creator, adhesion with the Creator. And on the way, they go through many preparations, fluctuations, ups and downs, breakings, similarly to what we learned from the upper worlds, from the shattering in the world of Nikudim, and the shattering in the same way here in this world. We have the ruin of the first temple and the second temple, the Zohar clarifies. And that part called Israel, after all the corrections and exiles, after it corrects itself, it also has another role of correcting all other desires that do not have an awakening by themselves, rather by the integration they have with Israel. There has to be a connection between them, and then through that connection, all the rest of the desires become corrected as well, so that eventually the collective desire created by the Creator comes to equivalence of form. And this is the desired purpose. And this is what the article of Arvut is about. If the article of Matan Torah is about how Israel must correct itself and its obligation, Arvut talks about why Israel goes through these difficult states and correcting itself in order to eventually correct the world. So the goal, the end result is in the initial thought, is that the whole world will come to the desired correction. Yes.
Item 19. Rabbi Elazar, son of Rashbi,
meaning the follow-up to Rashbi, the continuation. Rashbi belongs to a system which exists in the shattering of the temple, and his son continues his path, meaning the correction after the ruin.
Clarifies this concept of Arvut even further.
Meaning This whole issue of Arvut, where does it extend to? So it's not just implementing Arvut according to what we received in Mount Sinai, meaning only those who can come together around the mountain of hatred and discover love above it by mutual work, by mutual guarantee, as we, with the example of the students of Rabbi Shimon who discover hatred between them, and then by light that reforms, as they study the Zohar, they long for achieving love. So not only in that small group, but
it is not enough for him that all of Israel be responsible for one another, but the whole world is included in that Arvut.
Meaning, after the people of Israel realizes themselves, they see another form of correction of Arvut that needs to happen.
Indeed, there is no dispute here, for everyone admits that to begin with, it is enough to start with one nation for the observance of the Torah, for the beginning of the correction of the world. It was impossible to begin with all the nations at once.
This is called the implementation of the Torah, the correction of the world, to shift everyone from hate to love. As Barthelem writes in the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose, what is actual religion? The wisdom of Kabbalah. What is its purpose? To bring the world to love. What is the true commandment? Love thy friend as thyself. And there's no more. The fact that after the ruin and the detachment from the truth, all sorts of religions became to develop the way they did is simply a result of the concealment, of the corruption, the breaking. They all evolved from the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is like the general religion of the world. Then, using egoistic relationships, they began to build all kinds of relations to the Creator as if, and to this world, in a way that is give and take, let's do something to have the next world, and so on and so forth. And all those things have nothing to do with the truth. The truth is that right here and now you have to discover, as it is said, you shall see your world in your life. The whole method of Kabbalah is the revelation of the Creator to the creature in this world. And therefore, in that case, there is no issue of believing anything, believing that you'll have some reward after you die. When your body dies, then you'll be rewarded. And the actions that you do with your hands and legs, What is it in those actions that you should get rewarded for them? And what is the reward that you expect? The true reward, the next world, is love, bestowal. It's all in order to bestow for others. Do we want that? Are we ready for that? Is that the next world we picture? When we say you shall discover your world in your life, that's what we mean. Therefore, we have to separate between what is truly called religion, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah, and religions that we, the way we know it from here. And that there is only love thy friend as thyself, and that's the one single commandment, and there's nothing more compared with all kinds of actions that people invented for themselves in order to believe some reward that will come to them after they die. And in general, all those different religions and belief systems and teachings that only separate people, differentiate them, and keep them apart, compared with the wisdom of Kabbalah that talks about connection above all the differences and all the gaps. So there's a lot to work on here.
Sasha from Moscow asks, what is the Arvut for the 99%?
to strengthen each other, to help each other, understand, if not the purpose of life, although they also have these questions. The questions about the purpose of life, they do reside in every, in the whole human species, but on different levels in every person. They can hide it. Everyone has a point in the heart, but it's hidden. It needs to sort of be awakened. You know, it's like when you want to keep a fire, you have to constantly use wind in order to get the coals to burn. So the same thing with us. Let's continue.
As they said that the Creator went with the Torah to every nation and tongue, and they did not want to receive it. In other words, they were immersed in a filth of self-love up to their necks.
Meaning, in other words, not using the language of the Bible, the upper light is in complete contrast, meaning absolutely 100% in contrast to the broken will to receive, and therefore there can't be any contact between them. Any contact happens by the matching of qualities. So in order for the will to receive to be like the will to bestow, that just can't happen. So what do we learn about the igulim and the circles and the line. So what do we do? How do we start from the creatures who have a total ego? How can we start awakening them towards correction? And that it'll happen through some process of free choice and so on. So we have to permeate in the will to receive the sparks of that search. Not that they long for a bestowal, but they long for some broader state than before. And instead of only thinking about providing for the six basic desires, food, sex, family, which are the bodily desires, and money, honor, knowledge, which are human desires. And that's it. That's all. So, people have, as a result of the spark that the light leaves in them, they have some yearning for discovering the source of life. Why? That means the meaning of life. And there's a question here also about whether the spark within the person robs him of his free choice. Because a person without a spark, does he have a choice? He doesn't have a choice either. So this helps us realize that the free choice happens in between. On the one hand, the will to receive. On the other hand, the spark. And in the middle, what we call the middle third of Tiferet, Klipat Noga, and so on, the middle of the scales. And that's where you judge yourself and the world, to the scale of merit, to the scale of demerit. And that, in short, is built gradually in the middle. And it happens only with a minority of all the people of the world. This is called, you are the few among the nations. And the rest of the will to receive doesn't have those sparks, and they still practice free choice, but in a different way. Their decision is to cling, to adhere to those who follow the spark and free choice, or not. And that choice is not simple at all. For us, the choice is on a higher level. For them, it's on a lower level. For us, it's a spiritual choice. For them, it's something we can call a human choice or a corporeal choice. But in truth, it's actually the same type of choice. It's two levels, two floors. We will talk about it more.
some with adultery, some with robbery and murder, and so on.
That is, the Creator, as the upper light corresponding the will to receive, sees, well, we just explain it that way. Obviously, really, we're referring to laws of spiritual physics here. So the upper light cannot connect to it, and therefore it sees that it has to build some system of connection, and that system is called the system of the shattering. And when that system is installed, that's where the time of correction begins. And we are at the end of the installation of the system of the shattering, meaning that from this point on, the correction begins. First, in those pieces called Israel, and then in parallel, as much as possible, they must also carry out their role towards the nations of the world.
Until it was impossible to conceive in those days, to even ask if they agreed to retire from self-love.
In those days means in those states. In spiritual states, we can already understand what it's about. And corporeal states, there are no corporeal states in the sense that some group of people got the method of correction, part of the Babylonians, and the rest didn't. We see who are the people who followed Abraham. Those who had the spark, they heard him, and they ran away from Babylon along with him. If we're talking about the corporeal form of it, meaning those protein-based bodies that we see here. However, after all, the will to receive with the spark feels that it must move towards the light. And the light takes it from one state to another and one to another. And that's happens in spirituality. And that is called going from Babylon to the land of Canaan, going down to Egypt and then to Israel and so on. And this is really what's happening. The history or geography that we learn about in this world are just stories that seem to us that way to our corporeal eyes. In fact, it all happens in our desire. There is nothing more than a desire. We have to look at our world as sort of an external projection of what actually is happening behind it.
Therefore, the Creator did not find a nation or a tongue qualified to receive the Torah, except for the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
These are the three lines that the will to receive acquires. So then, by the method of three lines, it'll be able to correct itself and reach the goal, which is resembling the light,
whose ancestral merit reflected upon them.
Meaning that if they always use the same method, meaning that these three lines were established from the beginning. This is called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, three qualities.
As our sages said, the patriarchs observed the whole Torah even before it was given. This means...
meaning that these three lines are, even in Kachab, although there's no need for them to be there, they actually are implemented in our days, in Chagat, and even more so in Nehi. We're in the time of Nehi, meaning the implementation in the external part of the will to receive. There is what's called the forefathers, which is all the era until our time. And there are the sons, which is us today, having to correct ourselves in three lines. And there is the world, which is Nehi, which must become corrected through our work in three lines towards it. So don't count it by way of, you know, the numbers, 2000, 2000, and 2000, and think about it that way that we're in the last part. But look at the levels here.
Bala Sulam writes in the introduction to the book of Zohar is that the reason that now the Kelim of Nehi are completed and we have all the Kelim Rosh Tochen Sof of the Parzuf. Now complete degrees of the light extend in Rosh Tochen Sof to all who are qualified for them, meaning the complete Naran. Therefore, as these lower souls are completed, the upper lights can be revealed and not beforehand.
The Nehi themselves can't. They're incapable. But the Chagat, which connects to the Chabad, to the forefathers, meaning the sons, connect to what's called the forefathers, and they can correct what's called the nations of the world, which are the true Nehi.
This means that because of the exaltedness of their souls, they had the ability to attain all the ways of the Creator with respect to the spirituality of the Torah, which stems from their dvekut, adhesion, without first needing the letter of the practical part of the Torah, which they had no possibility of observing at all.
Let's do this. In case you also need to explain this to others, the Chabad, called forefathers, also include Chabad, Chagat, Nehi, and within them, all the processes that will later happen in the true Chabad, Chagat, Nehi, happen in them as well. So certainly, from the individual 10 Sefirot of Chabad, you can also find the whole process until the final correction, the method, although it cannot yet be actualized, but in potential. In Chabad, which is the Gar part, there it can be planned, organized, the future system can be set up and be established to work. And that's the degree of the forefathers. This is what's called form their exaltedness. They were able to prepare all their work for the sons because they were integrated in potential with all the deficiencies, all the vessels that will later be using their method, what they discovered.
Undoubtedly, both the physical purity and the mental exaltedness of our holy fathers greatly influenced their sons and their sons' sons.
This means that what's called the purity of the body and the exaltedness of the soul means that both in terms of purity and in terms of coarseness, they had complete degree of bestowal according to their structure, according to the level of yud that appeared in the system.
And their righteousness reflected upon that generation whose members all assumed that sublime work, and each and every one stated clearly, "We shall do and we shall hear."
It is recommended not to look at this world at all, of course, with its history, geography, and different nations and so on, but to penetrate inside into seeing all these things as the coarseness of the will to receive that must achieve complete correction. What type of phases, events it has to go through.
Because of that, we were chosen, out of necessity, to be a chosen people from among all the nations. Hence, only the members of the Israeli nation were admitted into the required arvut, and not the nations of the world at all, because they did not participate in it. And this is the plain reality.
The reality meaning that this is how the will to receive, which started dividing, it was not kept above by the upper force, like it happened in Babylon, where there was one people, one nation, one Babylonian nation, and after that they divided scattered to many different languages and as if nations and groups, and they spread around the whole globe. So the upper force does no longer keep them. And after all that process, where all these different desires to receive showed gaps between them, differences, and meaning they spread around Earth, and they start showing all kinds of other desires, as it explains to us what are the different desires called Babylon and Syria and Jordan and Israel and all those different... There are actually degrees of desire. And when all these desires are scattered, when they unfold, when they are disclosed, then comes a state where specifically from feeling detached, they begin to see how connected they are internally. That there is no choice, that they must be connected because they're interdependent, because they can't do without each other. And then this whole state of Babylon is happening to them again. And they have to achieve, to really reach heavens this time, not like with the tower, which means to reach bestowal, connection and love of others. And today, everyone discovers how destructive our ego is, and that it does all the evils to us. This is called the shattering of the Tower of Babel. And we discover how far we are from each other. All those Babylonians dispersed around the globe. We all want to be separated, yet we are obligated to each other, tied to each other, and then we see that in order to survive, we have to be connected. This is done to us forcefully. And from that interdependence, when we feel that we must reconnect, then we come to that, to the necessity to see that Tower of Babel that we build, that we erect, but this time with our correction, meaning in order to bestow. And then again we'll become one nation and we'll truly reach what's called heaven. That's the true tower, as it is called, the tower filled with goods.
If the forefathers were already corrected, and if the people of Israel already were in a state of Arvut before receiving the Torah,
the corrected forefathers are the upper system. This is how it is actualized in the small portion of the desire at the beginning of the correction.
If the people of Israel were already in a state of Arvut before receiving the Torah, that was the condition for receiving the Torah.
That too, all those things happened from above.
The question is, why was the Torah given? What was it given for? Who is it destined for? Is it for the people of Israel or the nations of the world?
For the nations of the world, undoubtedly. The Torah is meant for the nations of the world. This is what it means by the Creator addressing the peoples of the world. But none of these 70 nations, meaning none of those desires, the egoistic desires which have no spark, they cannot correct themselves. They cannot be in contact with the light. They can't respond to it properly. That physical matter, the will to receive, cannot understand, elevate, change by the light unless the spark of the light is inside it. But how do you instill that spark into it? So there's another system called the people of Israel. That is what it really means by the Creator addressing all the people of the world, asking them to receive the Torah. It's kind of like explaining it poetically, that you can't address the will to receive directly and start working with it to invert it, transform it gradually, using as many actions as you want. Even if you have billions of years of development endlessly, you cannot develop it without a spark inside it, if it's just pure will to receive. The inanimate, vegetative, and animate can't do it. That's why it is said, they all seemed as beasts. It's not to condemn anyone, it's simply indicating the level of the desire, the type of the desire. And there's a different type of desire called Israel, and all the world says they're different, and all the world hates them, not knowing why, and they also feel themselves different, although they want to try to be like all the others. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. They even think it can be a different race. That, you know, you have black, white, yellow, red, then maybe you have another one, which is the Jew. And there is something to it. It's not on the same level. But there is something to it, that there is something specific in it, unique. And you see it all along history. It doesn't matter if you were among the nations or not. That's how it is. There's this natural phenomenon by nature. And also the hatred in the nations of the world is also natural. You can't do anything about it. You think that those who are not in contact with the Jews, who don't discover, see them in any way, they don't hate them. They do. It comes to them from within, without even knowing what it is. That's how it is. They feel from within that this is something different, and it has nothing to do with religion. Religions only happened in order to hasten development, to externally differentiate between these and those, but that's it. It all results from the difference in the collective will to receive. There is a part of it that was impressed by the light, and a part of it that wasn't. And so the part that was must be the passageway. That's its function. So, is there anything special in that? No, that's how it is. Did you choose it? No, the Creator chose you, and that's it. You can do whatever you want. You were chosen, and that's it. For better, for worse, it doesn't matter how you take it. You'll have to carry it out anyway, because He chose it. That's it. No one tells you that you are special or nothing. No. You'll work on this. They work on that. That's it. And after there is that separation between these two parts, Israel and the nations, everyone has its own work, its own free choice and role, but it's all distributed from above. There's no excellence here to anyone. Yes.
So it turns out that as if the reason that the people of Israel have to study the Torah is in order to pass it to the others.
Certainly. Of course. Only for the correction of the world. Wait, what do you think that you do to give the Creator contentment? If He addressed the people of the world to begin with, and He wants to correct the raw basic will to receive, but since He has no choice, He had to build an accessory, an auxiliary system to correct it. You're a system. As much as you think the other way around, you're that system. And so, just carry out what you have to. Obviously, the vast will to receive must appear in the vessels of the nations of the world. But again, we mustn't differentiate between us and them, because it's all one body of the single desire. All of it is emerging together in a collaborative vessel. It's a vessel that loses its different parts, what's here and what's there. It becomes what's called Him and His name are one, meaning that the vessel has to be so shared, so common, that there's no difference between anything. It's all one circle.
Inside this system, what is the root for the resistance for this process?
The resistance is very clear. Because if there's a part of the desire, there is a collective desire, a general desire. In that desire, there's a part. There's a certain portion. What is the difference about that part? This is a desire, and that part is also a part of the desire. But in that part, there is a point. And in that point, that point is a point of light. So, there's a great gap between the desire and the light. This is what causes the hatred. Their hatred towards us. And this is why I'm saying. It is working on the innermost level. It isn't the protein level or the nervous system or anything. This is inside, at the forces level of nature, where the light and the vessels are. That's where the gap is at work. And until you will correct them, so they also become as if with a spark, like the light, that hatred, that anti-Semitism will not go away. It won't go away. More so, it'll grow more and more in order to push you to make corrections.
So this hatred towards me is so that I would be able to work above reason? Is that why it's there?
Well, if you accept it in order to escape suffering, that's a very, raw and corporeal stimuli. But if you take this as, an incentive to do something, a motivation to do something, then it's good. It all depends on how you look at it. But there is no reason for you to approach the people, the nations of the world, with a complaint. Why are you anti-Semite? You understand that from this perspective. On the contrary, the entire correction can come only from your side. And the correct correction will happen not if you work in order to remove that anti-Semitism, but in order to use it in order to correct the world so the Creator can be revealed in all. These are simple things. Well, yes, Chaim.
How do we say what you just said without mentioning the Boré, the Creator?
Nature. What? Bestowal, reception, spark. The spark is the small illumination within the desire. Nature. That's what I always say. Well, give me the sentence and I'll translate it for you.
In order to discover the Creator in the world. That's the sentence.
So in order to reveal the complete love and interconnection between all parts of reality as one reality, just like today how we discover that the whole of nature is global, integral, or analog, doesn't matter, call it a different word.
So in our explanation, the purpose of the correction of the world is?
The purpose of the correction of the world is to carry out nature's instruction. What instruction? The purpose of evolution is to lead everyone to balance according to, you know, like the law of thermodynamics. I don't know how you want to call it, but that's how it is, really. That's how it is. The whole world is drawn to balance. You can use the principle of entropy, maybe. You can attach a lot of explanations to this.
So the purpose of the correction is to bring the world to balance.
Nature longs for balance, just like waters that flow, pressures that balance, cold and heat. Nature is drawn to balance. And that balance happens on the levels of inanimate, vegetative, and animate, gradually. And on the speaking level, the balance happens when we all unite as one, when we all use only what we need in order to carry out, sustain our corporeal body, and that means that it is balanced, and that we all distribute resources equally and justly between everyone, according to what nature gives each and every one, perhaps giving us different desires, yet in the correct relationship between us, we'll distribute everything correctly, and we will all relate and use the natural resources, ecology, in the correct way, what we need for life, and what we don't need, we won't take. That's also a part of that balance. Nature is pushing us through suffering, through consciousness, towards balance. Why? Because on the human level, what makes us different from animals? Because we have to come to it in our awareness, in our consciousness. But we come to the same balance, realizing nature's laws, the formula of balance, and meeting these conditions consciously, knowingly, of our own accord, building that system of the new humanity.
Meaning, because this issue of balance, well, there are a thousand other organizations that talk about that. But we say...
they're all aiming at one balance.
Yes, but what's the difference between the balance that we are speaking about and the balance that they're speaking about? Is it only the matter of awareness and consciousness?
Awareness and consciousness that we must achieve a certain type of balance. What type of it? It's a relative balance, which means I can't be you, you can't be me. But in the relative relation we have, every one of us invests, makes an effort as much as they can. When you rise above the ego, this is what happens.
What is relative?
Relative means that you can work, your work equals 100 kilograms, my work equals 10 kilos. But you have to take 10 kilos, and then I have to take 100 kilos for it. So it's all with respect to the conditions set by nature in each and every one. It's not according to our egoistic vision that says everyone should be the same, but you have to go into the system of nature and through love start distributing everything to everyone and determine the effort of everyone through the higher level of justice. And that requires knowing the whole system in depth.
Meaning that this balance is at a level...
it is a balance in mind and heart, literally.
So
everyone must have it.
So we ourselves must be in the awareness?
On the level of the upper nature, attaining that whole plan, reason, and purpose. Otherwise, we won't get along.
Okay, what is the upper nature?
The upper nature means the law of evolution in nature, which we see exists. The more we research nature, the more laws we discover. The more we see that it's full of formulae of development. In every detail and in every system, and they're all interconnected, and today you can no longer deny it. That's why we have evolved through our desires for food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge. When we get to realize that nature is so complex and intricate, then we face a problem. Where are we in that system of nature? Are we an integrated part of it, or what? Are we outside of it? If I still think I'm outside of it, I'll suffer a few more blows, and then I'll see I'm 100% dependent on that system, inside it. How can I be outside of it? My mind is outside the system of nature. True. Not my body and my life. Only the researching part of my mind. I don't know how to call it. The analyzing mind. That is outside nature. I was given that deliberately so that I won't be dependent on all that, but I can also be independent in my research, objective. And then as I study it that way, I can transform myself and become truly independent. I was given that ability to be Adam, human. This is the human part above the animal, because basically I'm an animal, but this is how I develop the human in me. So only that consciousness, that I can research nature in order to resemble it, to know, to acknowledge this, that this integralness is really wholeness, perfection. That's what makes me human. Well, it's a new philosophy, but until it, new ideology, but until it's accepted. But it's already, I already feel that here and there, they themselves don't exactly know where it's coming from and why they write about it, but people do. It's already there. The, how do you call it? You know, the
sprouts.
The sprouts are sprouting out of the will to receive. The time of the bird to sing has come.
It's a great opportunity to say that this weekend we're going to have a worldwide Kabbalah Congress that engages exactly about that. How do you take the point of the light and instill it, plant it within the will to receive? So a worldwide dissemination convention.
Yes, this is in English, and this is will be in New York, and this should be very efficient, and I hope that groups will learn how to continue afterwards, certainly guided by us, but they'll learn from it. And we have another breaking news here.
The book fair, can we? May I?
Sure, yeah.
So, a very interesting situation is now being created, at least I feel this way, that in Israel, in all the groups, we have this process now that as if we are one body working together, but each one has its own role. You know, we have Tel Aviv where there's a mass of people, and we have the smaller cities where there's a smaller mass, and there are those that apparently are not part of the physical body. So those who have the... can't operate physically. Those who have difficulty to operate physically, what can they say? Well, so they can come from one place to the other. It's not long distances. Yes, some people are going to join other groups. The question is, how can they still be part of this body, even though physically they won't be there? How can they participate in a book week, in a book fair? Yes, but you know, they won't be there physically. Other than that, what else can they do to be part of us, with us? They can contact their relatives and say, over there we're going to have the, you know, in the book fair in your town, there is a special counter. You should go there and take for me or buy for me some book for 10 shekels. And by that, they cause dissemination. So their relatives nonetheless would come there. They'll talk here about it. They'll know what it's about. That's it. And maybe some other similar tricks. Many groups come and say, they actually want to see how they can do that at a spiritual level. What can they do with it at a spiritual level? Because physically they can't. They very much want to try and do it at a spiritual level. What can they do? Well, speak about it even more. What does a book mean? What is that concept? Book, story, author. We'll talk about that. But all in all, reinforce them that those who are in the streets, working in the counters, through our intentions, so that we'll all be together. And most importantly, we need to succeed this weekend in this process that we're all going to go through along with the New York Center. An experience called Kabbalah in Modi'in. Tomorrow, Tuesday, 5th of June at 7 p.m., we're going to have the weekly meeting with Rav Lightman in Modi'in. The topic would be the influence of the media and the environment on our lives. We invite you to send questions to us to the mail tv@kab.co.il. A worldwide dissemination congress. This coming weekend, June 9, 10, we're going to have a worldwide dissemination congress, Kabbalah Congress, broadcast from New York. The groups will get together in the centers for practicing, training in dissemination to the whole world. Details can be found at KabbalahGroup.info. With this, we conclude. Thank you and have a great day.
את הפאזל כבר מרכיב והמילים חודרות עמוק בפנים וזה גדל בלב משמחה ומכאב יוצא למסע לא מתעכב קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית עוד מאותה אתה מרגיש מעצמך לתת והניצוץ בך כבר מעוטט נחלים בך זורמים של אהבה בעורקים פתאום השחר מתעורר